Penguin Audio presents Proven Guilty by Jim Butcher. Read by James Marsters. Chapter 1. Blood leaves no stain on a warden's gray cloak. I didn't know that until the day I watched Morgan, second in command of the White Council's wardens, lift his sword over the kneeling form of a young man guilty of the practice of black magic. The boy, 16 years old at the most, screamed and ranted in Korean underneath his black hood, his mouth spilling hatred and rage, convinced by his youth and power of his own immortality. He never knew it when the blade came down. Which, I guess, was a small mercy. Microscopic, really. His blood flew in a scarlet arc. I wasn't 10 feet away. I felt hot droplets strike one cheek, and more blood covered the left side of the cloak in blotches of angry red. The head fell to the ground, and I saw the cloth over it moving, as if the boy's mouth were still screaming imprecations. The body fell onto its side. One calf muscle twitched spasmodically and then stopped. After maybe 5 seconds, the head did too. Morgan stood over the still form for a moment, the bright silver sword of the White Council of Wizards Justice in his hands. Besides him and me, there were a dozen wardens present, and two members of the senior council, the Merlin and my one-time mentor, Ebenezer McCoy. The covered head stopped its feeble movements. Morgan glanced up at the Merlin and nodded once. The Merlin returned the nod. May he find peace. Peace, the wardens all replied together, except me. I turned my back on them and made it 2 steps away before I threw up on the warehouse floor. I stood there shaking for a moment until I was sure I was finished, then straightened slowly. I felt a presence draw near me and looked up to see Ebenezer standing there. He was an old man, bald but for wisps of white hair, short, stocky, his face half covered in a ferocious-looking gray beard. His nose and cheeks and bald scalp were all ruddy, except for a recent purplish scar on his pate. Though he was centuries old, he carried himself with a vibrant energy, and his eyes were alert and pensive behind gold-rimmed spectacles. He wore the formal black robes of a meeting of the council, along with the deep purple stole of a member of the senior council. Harry, he said quietly, you all right? After that, I snarled, loudly enough to make sure everyone there heard me. No one in this damned building should be all right. I felt a sudden tension in the air behind me. No, they shouldn't, Ebenezer said. I saw him look back at the other wizards there, his jaw setting stubbornly. The Merlin came over to us, also in his formal robes and stole. He looked like a wizard should look, tall, long white hair, long white beard, piercing blue eyes. His face seamed with age and wisdom. Well, with age, anyway. Warden Dresden, he said. He had the sonorous voice of a trained speaker and spoke English with a high-class British accent. If you had some evidence that you felt would prove the boy's innocence, you should have presented it during the trial. I didn't have anything like that, and you know it, I replied. He was proven guilty, the Merlin said. I soul-gazed him myself. I examined more than 2 dozen mortals whose minds he had altered. 3 of them might eventually recover their sanity. He forced 4 others to commit suicide and had hidden 9 corpses from the local authorities as well, and every one of them was a blood relation. The Merlin stepped toward me, and the air in the room suddenly felt hot. His eyes flashed with azure anger, and his voice rumbled with deep, unyielding power. The powers he had used had already broken his mind. We did what was necessary. I turned and faced the Merlin. I didn't push out my jaw and try to stare him down. I didn't put anything belligerent or challenging into my posture. I didn't show any anger on my face or slur any disrespect into my tone when I spoke. The past several months had taught me that the Merlin hadn't gotten his job through an ad on a matchbook. He was, quite simply, the strongest wizard on the planet. and he had talent, skill, and experience to go along with that strength. If I ever came to magical blows with him, there wouldn't be enough left of me to fill a lunch sack. I did not want to fight. But I didn't back down, either. He was a kid, I said. We all have been. He made a mistake. We've all done that, too. The Merlin regarded me with an expression somewhere between irritation and contempt. You know what the use of black magic can do to a person, he said. Marvelously subtle shading and emphasis over his words added in a perfectly clear, unspoken thought. You know it because you've done it. Sooner or later, you'll slip up, and then it will be your turn. One use leads to another, and another. That's what I keep hearing, Merlin, I answered. Just say no to black magic. But that boy had no one to tell him the rules, to teach him. If someone had known about his gift and done something in time. He lifted a hand, and the simple gesture had such absolute authority to it that I stopped to let him speak. The point you are missing, Warden Dresden, he said, is that the boy who made that foolish mistake died long before we discovered the damage he'd done. What was left of him was nothing more or less than a monster who would have spent his life inflicting horror and death on anyone near him.